A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I know we're all familiar with the great miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fish. This is recounted here in Matthew chapter 14. It's also recounted in John chapter 6, the great Eucharistic chapter. In fact, I love that chapter so much that on my license plate I have the letters JNCH6, John chapter 6. But even again, just last week, a little kid said, "Father, what does it mean, join channel 6? What does that mean?" So I had to explain, no, it's John chapter 6. It's about the Eucharist, and Jesus walks on the water, showing he has power over his body. And then he multiplies the loaves and fish, showing he has power over bread. And at the Last Supper, he would work a great miracle. He would change bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So today we have Matthew's account of this great miracle, the miracle of the loaves and fish. Now, I'm sure the Lord really did not feel like working this miracle. It says he had tried to escape the crowds. It says that he had heard of the death of John the Baptist. Not only was John the Baptist the Lord's cousin, they probably spent many holidays together, many vacations together. They probably grew up together in so many ways. But it was also his close friend. And he had heard that his friend had been beheaded. He had been murdered by King Herod. So the Lord, who is truly God and truly man, who has a human heart and human emotions, it says he withdrew to a deserted place. See, the Lord knows what it's like to lose a loved one. The Lord knows what it's like to lose a relative, even a dear friend. How did the Lord deal with that emotion? He prayed. He went away by himself to a deserted place and he prayed to his Heavenly Father. And that's a good lesson for us too. If we lose someone that we love, that we should pray and ask the Lord for help, ask the Lord for strength. So the Lord escaped by himself to a deserted place. He wanted that time alone to converse with his Heavenly Father. But then it says, the crowds heard about this, and they wouldn't leave him alone. And they followed him on foot. And they followed him all along the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And so the Lord looked up again, and there they were, a vast crowd. And the scripture says, 5,000 men, not even counting women and children. That was one third of the population of Galilee at that time. Imagine that, one third of the whole region was there by the Sea of Galilee on the banks. And the Lord, who had just been mourning the loss of his cousin, his friend, he did not brush the crowd aside and say he needed time on his own. Instead, it says his heart was moved with pity. His sacred heart was moved with pity. And the Lord had compassion upon the people. He had seen that they were hungry, that they were thirsty. And even it was beginning to get dark. The sun was going down. It was evening. Even the disciples said, "Lord, you have to send these people away. It's way too late. They have to go back to the villages to get some food. Otherwise, they'll be out here all night without anything to eat." And here we know that the Lord, we can tell from his response that the Lord has a wonderful sense of humor. He tells the disciples, "Give them something to eat yourselves. Feed everybody." Again, the 12 apostles trying to feed a crowd of perhaps 10,000 people, including all the women and children. And they say, "How can we do this? All we have, 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we have." Well, of course, if you have the Lord, then you have abundance. If you have Jesus in your life, you have everything. Even when things look dismal and where it looks like things are going very badly, if you have Christ there, then you have everything. And Jesus can work a miracle. The apostles without Jesus were empty-handed. They couldn't do anything. All they had were a few loaves and 2 fish. But once the Lord gets something from us, namely our loaves and fish, then he can work a miracle. Now it's interesting to think, what would have happened if there were no loaves and fish? Most likely Jesus would not have worked the miracle with nothing. He would not have created these things out of nothing. He usually works with something that we give. We have to give something, our time, our talent, our treasure. We have to give something, sacrifice something. And if we do that, then Jesus can multiply it and he can work a miracle. But we have to give of ourselves at least something, even if it's not much. It has to be something that we have. We have to give to the Lord. And once we give, then he can work a miracle. So he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. This indicates that it was springtime, most likely May, because the whole fields were covered in grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then what we have here is Eucharistic language, because this foreshadows the Eucharist. And he takes the bread, he takes the fish, he looks up to heaven, the same words we say at Mass. He blesses them, breaks them, gives them to the disciples to distribute to the crowd. This miracle foreshadows the Eucharist. It's not the Eucharist, but it foreshadows something that will happen for us. And it says all the crowds ate until they were filled. Everybody was satisfied. And even there were so many fragments left over, they collected 12 basketful, I'm sure, to give to the poor and to the needy. Imagine that, 12 wicker baskets full of fragments and leftovers. And it says Jesus fed all those people and they were satisfied. Well, that foreshadows the Eucharist, how Jesus could feed 5 or 10,000 people with just a few loaves. That prefigures how Jesus can feed all of us here at Holy Trinity with the Eucharist. And not only at our church, but all the Catholic churches throughout the world, Jesus at every Mass works a miracle. The miracle is transubstantiation, where he changes bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, divinity. And all of us can be filled with Jesus. All of us can have our hunger for the Lord satisfied. He can feed us with his own body and blood. Every time we come to Mass, a miracle occurs. Bread and wine becomes Jesus. Bread and wine becomes the living body of Christ, his soul and divinity, his blood, his resurrected, glorified body under the appearances of bread and wine. And just as Jesus could feed that whole crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fish, so he can feed all of us with his body and blood. Probably this weekend, about 1 billion Catholics will receive the Eucharist, will receive Jesus in Holy Communion. It's a great miracle. This miracle prefigures and shows us what Jesus does in the Catholic Church today, that he can feed us with his own body and blood. Sometimes I've met people that say, "Oh, I was raised Catholic, but I felt I wasn't being fed in the Catholic Church." Well, maybe They left the church because they never understood the Eucharist. If they did understand and believe that that was truly the Lord and Holy Communion, then they never would have left to try to, quote unquote, be fed from some other church. What greater way to be fed than not only by the Scriptures, but by the Eucharist? So a Catholic should never say, I left the Catholic Church in order to be fed. This is where we get fed, through the Scriptures, through the readings, but especially through the Eucharist. No other religion has Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion. The other religions have a symbol of the Eucharist. They have Holy Communion that reminds them of Jesus or represents Jesus or is a symbol of Jesus. But only in the Catholic Church, founded by Christ, do we have the miracle of transubstantiation, the one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We have this great miracle where bread and wine becomes Jesus. And Jesus can then satisfy our hunger. And all of us are hungry for God. All of us are hungry for the Lord. And He feeds us with the Eucharist. So that's what we should take from today's Gospel. Just as Jesus fed the crowds with ordinary bread, He feeds us with something far greater. He feeds us with Himself in the Eucharist. And just as they were concerned with the fragments of ordinary bread, how much more so should we be concerned with every particle of the sacred host? That's why the altar servers hold the paten, lest one particle fall to the ground. That's why we purify our hands, and that's why we receive communion reverently. If we do receive on the tongue, of course, that's a beautiful way to receive. If we receive in the hand, again, just be very careful not to allow any particles or crumbs to fall to the ground, because that is Jesus. Every particle, every fragment, it is the Lord. If they were concerned with gathering up fragments of ordinary bread, how much more so should we as Catholics be concerned not to let any particle fall to the ground, because it is Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So I think what we can learn from this Gospel is the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and that every time we come to Mass, we participate in a miracle, the changing of bread and wine into Christ Himself. God bless you.